All right. Thanks, BJ. Let me just start this morning by saying a number of you have let us know that it's getting more difficult for you to see what's happening on the screen, and we want you to know we're aware of that. We have a projector that is getting old, and so we're working on solutions for that. So we just want you to know we're working on it for you, and we want to make it better than what it's been. A couple of you have been asking about how we're doing with our mortgage payoff, and I'm excited to be able to tell you that we are getting very, very close, and we're announcing today that we're doing one big offering, over-the-top offering, on June 6th. June 6th just happens to be D-Day, so we're just calling this D-Day for Debt. And yes, D-Day for Debt offering on June 6th, so coming up a little less than a month. We have $97,000 to go. That's a lot of money, but not to God, and we're just going to believe God for a big miracle that day. We're asking every one of you to just between now and then be praying and asking the Lord, God, what would you have me to give in this offering? And I want you to know that every offering matters. Every offering, God sees it. We don't give by comparison, okay? So don't ever feel like, well, my offering isn't significant. Every offering that's given in faith is significant. It is. And there's power in it. Not only in paying off the debt, but there's power in it for you. As you give sacrificially and give by faith and obedience to God, God's going to bless you for that too. And so we're very excited about this offering. We're excited about getting our debt paid off. It's going to be a beautiful, wonderful thing. Yes, and moms, I know Pastor BJ already said this, but we honor you today. We honor you today. We're so thankful for you. And honoring moms is something, it's not lost on God. In fact, the Bible has many occasions where it talks about the importance of honoring our mothers, including Proverbs 31, which says this, "She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness." I don't know too many moms that are idle. "Her children arise and call her blessed." I hope they did that today. "Her husband also, and he praises her." You hear that, guys? He praises her. "Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring praise at the city gate." I don't think we really have a city gate, but we'll just say Bethel Church today. "Let her works bring her praise at Bethel Church." And so we honor you today, moms. We're thankful for you. And again, pick up one of those beautiful flowers as you're leaving this morning. Now, I know this isn't really Grandparents' Day, but 3 weeks ago, our daughter Jennifer and her husband Dan and their two children, Riley and Kenji, were here with us for a few days. And during that time, Riley wrote her grandpa a little note. Now, Riley turns 4 years old tomorrow. She didn't really write this. She dictated it to her mother to write for me, okay? So just get the tissue out now. Get ready. "Dear Grandpa, I love you, Grandpa. You like goldfish, and you love me. The special, special one. I am your special girl. I like to do all sorts of stuff in the whole entire world with you." Sounds like she's like bucking for a trip to Europe or something. "Love, Riley." So anyway, yes, wonderful, wonderful. These are wonderful things, our family legacy and what's being passed down from generation to generation. Now, I had a little bit of a dilemma about today's message. On the one hand, we're right in this middle of this series on the end times that has gotten such a great response, and so I wanted to keep talking about that. On the other hand, it's Mother's Day, and so I wanted to talk about that. So today, we're going to talk about both. We're going to talk about parenting, and we're going to talk about how to prepare our children for the end times. Isn't that a great way to put both those things together? How to prepare our children for the end times. Knowing what the Bible says about the end times, how do we raise our children and prepare them to be successful and victorious and more than conquerors, no matter what they face in life? Now, everything that I'm going to share with you this morning is something each and every one of you can do, okay? I'm not interested in giving you a bunch of platitudes, because you're all absolutely capable, with the Lord's help, of doing everything that I'm going to share with you this morning. Now, there are many aspects. Obviously, you could do a whole series just on parenting. I'm not going to try to cover every aspect of parenting today, but rather, we're going to focus on our kids' spiritual well-being. How can I, as a parent, encourage my child's spiritual health? Because after all, it's the most important thing about them. Amen? More important than how they do in school, more important than how they do in sports, more important than anything else is their own walk with Jesus, right? So how do we invest in that? Turn with me in your Bible to Malachi chapter 4. It's really the very end of the Old Testament. These are the last words of the Old Testament, okay? Last words of the Old Testament. And after this we're about to read, comes 400 years of prophetic silence, and then Jesus arrives on the scene, all right? So think about that. These are the last words from God for 400 years until Jesus shows up, okay? And it says this: "See, I will send the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. Or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." Okay, so we see in this a warning and a promise. See the warning: "Or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." Ever since the creation of the very first human, Satan has been set on destroying families. Why? Because the family is the God-ordained incubator for protecting, nurturing, equipping our young men and women to become people of God and to serve the kingdom of God and advance the kingdom of God. So Satan has always been against the family. The devil knows that the best way to attack a nation is to destroy the family. The best way to attack a church is to destroy families. 2 Peter chapter 3 warns us about the end times. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. So in that whole list of just terrible things, we find that one of the marks of the end times is going to be disobedience to parents. It's going to be a breakdown in the family. So with me this morning, I want you to just say this out loud: "Not on my watch." Not on my watch. Come on, again. Not on my watch. Yeah. So there's this warning, but there's also this beautiful promise. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to the parents. In other words, as the people of God, we don't have to go the way of the rest of the world. Amen? Yeah. God can and will do something beautiful and wonderful in our families. This is one of the true marks of true spiritual revival. Revival brings healing to relationships. Amen? It brings healing to relationships, and it brings restoration a family. When you've got a true move of God, these are the things that happen. Healing in relationships, restoration of family. Psalm 127 and verse 3 says, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring, a reward from Him. You know, the rest of the world doesn't see it this way, but God does. God blesses us when He gives us children. So moms, this morning, don't think for one minute that raising your children is less meaningful than being the CEO of the most prosperous company in America. What you're doing is more important than any other kind of success this world has to offer. Yes. So this morning, I want to give you five things we can all do to prepare our children for the end times. Okay? Number one, fight for your children in the heavenly realms. Fight for your children in the heavenly realms. This is prayer. Prayer. This is one thing every one of you can do. You can all pray for your kids. You can all pray for your grandkids. You can all pray for your nieces and nephews. Every one of you can do warfare in the heavenly realms with the authority that Jesus Christ has given us. Fight for your kids. Pray for your kids. Pray for them by name. Cry out to God for your children. And here's a few things. I would encourage you, make a list. Pray for your kids by name. Make a list under each one of them, specific things. You know your kids. You know what to pray for. The Holy Spirit will lead you. But here's a passage of Scripture that is something that we should always be praying over our kids. And it has to do with our kids putting on the armor of God. Galatians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. So we're praying, God, prepare our kids with the full armor of God. Get them ready for battle, okay? Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So pray for your kids. Pray the armor of God over their lives. Ephesians 6, you can look it up. You can pray that over your children. So number one, do battle for your kids in the heavenly realms. Number two, love your children unconditionally. Love them unconditionally. Love is the most powerful thing in the world. And our kids need to know how precious they are, how treasured they really are. You know, children today are being trained to believe that their only worth is found in what they add to society. There's such pressure on kids to go with the flow because the measurement of their worth is based upon what they contribute to society. And if they don't come into his heading, then they are deemed to have no value. But I want to remind us, church, that our kids' worth is found in the Lord. It's not found in the way this world measures worth. It's found in the Lord. And they're precious to Him. He created them. They're created by God, and God loves them uniquely. And we, as parents, need to reflect the love of God to our kids and love them unconditionally. Amen? To love them unconditionally. Yes, our kids should add to culture and society. They should be salt and light, as Jesus told us to be. But on the other hand, our culture doesn't determine their worth. God does, right? Psalm 139, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Oh, church, love your kids unconditionally. Let them know how valuable they are, how precious they are to God. A third thing that we can all do is teach your children the great stories of faith and courage in the Bible. The stories of great faith and courage. You know, there's a lot of power in stories, right? A lot of power in stories. Disney knows that. But long before Disney knew it, God knew it. And so God gives us all of these beautiful, wonderful stories in his word that teach us a lot of different things. But have you ever noticed how many stories in the Bible have to do with courage and faith and standing strong, right? Whether it's Noah trusting God with his life and the lives of his family, whether it's Abraham leaving his homeland to follow God to a land that he knew nothing of, or Moses who was willing to go back to Egypt and stand before Pharaoh because he heard a voice from a burning bush, or Joshua going up against the great walled city of Jericho, or Ruth standing with her mother-in-law when both of their husbands had died and saying, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Or young Gideon, who took a tiny army and stood against the powerful Midianites. Or David standing alone before the terrifying Goliath and saying, you come against me with the sword and the spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord, God Almighty of Israel. Or Elijah facing off against the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. Or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego standing before the fiery furnace and declaring Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown in the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Or Daniel, who would rather face death than stop praying to God. Or Queen Esther, who was willing to risk her very position and her life to save her people from destruction. Or Peter and John, who stood up before the threats of the religious leaders and said, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven by which mankind can be saved. Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or listen to God? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard. And then, of course, there's Jesus, the ultimate hero of heroes, who the writer of Hebrews says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Listen, guys, our kids need to hear these great, great stories of faith and courage and boldness in the days in which we are living. Amen? Yeah. And they need to know God's going to come through for them. God's going to be there for them. Now, when your kids are too young for maybe some of these stories, get a hold of some good Veggie Tales. Man, those things are awesome. Believe me, I've seen them all. Many times. Yeah, teach your kids these great stories of the Bible. Now listen, this is not your notes. I'm going to give you two other things that you need to teach your kids. So this is kind of 1A and 1B under teaching your kids the Bible. 1A would be this: teach your kids American history. Pastor Tim, don't they do that at school? Well, hopefully, depending on the school, the class, the teacher, right? When Fidel Castro is being hailed as some kind of human rights champion, someone left something out of history class. Right? The easiest way to take away people's rights is to make sure they don't learn them to begin with. Make sure your children are learning history correctly. Okay? And then 1B would be this. Make sure your children know the true meaning of words. Of words. Words matter. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but our language is changing. Words are being redefined. So that when we have conversations with people, we're not even talking about the same things anymore. Because words are being redefined, and there's power in words. Make sure your children know the true meaning of language and words. So important. Okay? These are things we can all do. Number four, getting our kids ready. Support your church's children's ministries. Yeah. You know, God is doing such great things in the lives of kids in our church. Last Sunday, I think, is an incredible testament to the job that Pastor Ben and Susan and the team are doing. Last Sunday, we had 8 children get baptized in water. And every one of them, amen. Give thanks to the Lord, amen. And every one of them was so excited, fully understood the decision they were making, and were able to verbalize that with boldness. And it was so exciting to see these kids who wanted to get baptized so badly, and it was their day, right? So get behind Pastor Ben, get behind Susan, right? We always need people to commit to being a part of kids' ministries. They're planning 2 great camps, a day camp here at the church and a way camp at our camp that we go to this summer. And we need people. We need people to be supportive. We need financial support. We need prayer support. We need people who are willing to serve. So let's really get behind our children's ministries here at Bethel Church. All right, number five. Lead your children in receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Being baptized in water is biblical, it's wonderful, it's essential, but don't underestimate the importance of our kids also being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Your children need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Water baptism is a public declaration of faith. Holy Spirit baptism gives kids power to live out that faith, right? Listen, mom, dad, you're not going to be able to go with your kids everywhere that they go, but the Holy Spirit will, right? You don't know exactly what's happening in the heart and mind of your children. But the Holy Spirit knows. We want to know, we think we know exactly what our kids need, and God will show us those things, but the Holy Spirit knows exactly what our kids need. And it's the Holy Spirit that is going to give your kids power. It's the Holy Spirit that is going to give your kids courage. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to give your kids discernment. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to do what you and I, as much as we'd love to do, we can't do it, but the Holy Spirit of God can. Amen? Lead your children in being baptized in the Holy Spirit. These are things you can do. All 5 of these things, they're things we can all do. And we can do them as grandparents as well. As grandparents, we use our influence in their lives as aunts and uncles. So everybody's in on this together. As parents, sometimes we just feel pretty inadequate for the task. It's a big job. But listen, here's what I've learned in life. God never asks me to do anything that he won't also equip me to do. So even though it's a big job, you can do it with God's help. You can do it with God's help. And so we're going to close out this message today by praying for you. And we want to pray God's blessing over you, that God's going to give you all the strength, all the wisdom that you need. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. And even though we've already done this, I'm going to ask all of the moms to please stand to your feet. All the moms, please stand up this morning. Hallelujah. We want to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. And now, if I could have any family members that are here, husbands, children, any family members that are here, would you go stand with your mom, your wife? Would you go stand with them this morning? Now listen, not everybody this morning, not all the moms have a husband here or children here this morning. So I want you to look around, and where there's a mom standing alone, I don't want any mom to be alone this morning. So go find someone, okay? Go find someone that needs someone to pray with them, all right? Thank you. Amen, amen. Hallelujah, God. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Listen, look at me. The devil wants you to believe that the job's too big for you. He wants you to believe you can't make a difference or what you're doing doesn't matter, that you don't have what it takes. And these are all lies from the enemy. Church, it's time to go on the offensive. It's time to take the battle to the devil. Amen? For the sake of your children, for the sake of their children, rise up. Rise up, moms and dads. Rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit. Rise up. The worst thing you can do is to be paralyzed. To be paralyzed, to feel like, well, there's nothing I can do. To not do anything is the worst thing you can do. Rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit and decide right now, I'm going to do whatever I can to make a difference in my kids' life and their future. I'm going to do whatever I can to get them ready for these end times. I'm going to get on my knees and pray. I'm going to speak the word of God over them. I'm going to pray with them. I'm going to pray for them, right? I'm going to bless my kids. I'm going to lead the way, and I'm going to lead by example with God's help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Janice is going to lead us in prayer. Would you receive this prayer and receive the blessing of God today? Hallelujah, Lord.
Lord, we do want to rise up, God, and put on that full armor like Tim was reading from your word, God. And I just pray over each woman that's standing this morning. God, your word is powerful. There is power in your word. And so this morning, Lord, as I speak these words of blessing, God, I pray that it won't just be words going out, but it'll be the power of God taking place in their hearts and in their souls and in their minds, God, that they are not alone in this task that you've given us, Lord, but you go with us. You go before us. You surround us with everything that we need. And so, Lord, this morning, God, I just pray a blessing, God, of wisdom for each parent, God, this morning. Lord, the times when we don't have the answer, which is a lot of times, God, we don't know which way to turn, which way, what to say to our children. God, those are the times that we can just say, Lord, I need to know what you want me to say. I need to know what you want me to do and how to lead these young lives. The days are trying. This year has been a year of struggle for so many moms, but God, you are our source and you give us the wisdom that we need. So I pray that blessing and covering of your wisdom. And Lord, I also want to pray a blessing of steadfastness over each mom. God, that on the days that are tough, God, that they will be determined and committed to doing the right thing And God, that you will give them what they need. They will be steadfast in their faith. God, that you see them, that you know their story. You know the struggles that they are going through, and you know their children. And God, you're going to help them. Help them to be steadfast, Lord, and just be committed to following you. And Lord, I also want to pray for a blessing of joy. God, that you said in your word that the joy of the Lord is our strength. God, I just pray for the gift of joy to surround their hearts, God. And God, that that can be their strength on the tough days, Lord. And that you will renew them with hope that these days, it's not just what we see, but it's the hope that we have in you and for the plan that you have for our children. And Lord, this morning, I know that there's some that their hearts are heavy because their children are making decisions that go against what they've been taught. And Lord, I just pray this morning for the kids that are away from you. God, I just pray, God, you'll soften their hearts. And even this morning, Lord, as they're reminded that it's Mother's Day, that they have a mom who loves them, that's praying for them, and God, that you have not forgotten these children that have walked away, God, but that your heart is for them. And Lord, we just pray that they will come back to you, God. And Lord, we do love you, and we just thank you for God, a God that we can trust with the things that are nearest and dearest to our hearts. God, I thank you for the parents and the grandmas and the mom that you gave me. And God, just I know that I am who I am today because of their faithfulness to you, and I am grateful for that, Lord. We love you, and we just thank you for today. Amen. I know I said a lot, but my goodness, there's a lot to say, isn't there? God's good. Love you guys.